President Reagan summed it up when he bestowed upon Bryce the President's Medal of Freedom, which is the highest civilian honor that one can receive. And Bryce received that as one of the only Washington reps of corporations that ever received it. It's very meaningful because no man ever bridged government and the business community like Bryce did.
In 1961, congressional staffer, speechwriter, congressional liaison, and presidential counselor Bryce Harlow added a new title to his Washington resume, private sector lobbyist. Procter & Gamble, the Cincinnati-based producer of soaps, detergents, and other household staples, had been one of the nation's most well-established companies for more than a century. But by the early 1960s, the political winds in Washington were shifting toward more regulation of companies like Procter. As a result, Procter & Gamble decided it was finally time to have a presence in Washington. Procter CEO Neil McElroy had worked with Harlow in the Eisenhower administration, and the two developed a mutual respect for one another. So McElroy knew just who to turn to be his company's Washington lobbyist. Ed Behrens, a former Procter & Gamble employee who worked under Bryce Harlow, described how Harlow landed in his new role.
He obviously was a well-established, well-recognized individual, had opened the Procter & Gamble Washington office in 1961, after being hired by Neil McElroy, who was Secretary of Defense under the last year of the Eisenhower administration. Bryce, of course, was counsel in the Eisenhower administration. When Neil McElroy left as Secretary of Defense, he went back to Procter & Gamble as CEO and felt a need already then for the company to have a Washington office.
Procter's decision to open their Washington office was symptomatic of the political climate in Washington at that time. Other prominent corporations like Ford Motor Company joined Procter in opening a Washington office. Wayne Smithy, a former vice president of Ford Motor Company and a Harlow colleague in Washington, described why so many other companies felt the need for Washington representation.
Well, there are a variety of reasons. One is that the Congress was increasingly receiving legislation which had a direct impact upon their methods of doing business. This was the age, particularly the period when I was the vice president of Ford Motor Company, this was the age of regulation. It was the increased regulation of business, the increased consumer activity, increased environmental protection activity, and increased safety activity. All of those elements interacted with our product. And as a consequence, Ford, had a clear indication that they needed to understand the effect of those proposals upon our business, and to understand why we thought they either should not be passed or should be passed in an amended form.
Harlow may have been representing Procter, but he saw himself as part of the overall community of Washington lobbyists. He joined his colleagues in a variety of roundtables and other professional gatherings to help the community operate more effectively. Fellow lobbyist Emmett Hines Jr., who represented Armstrong Williams, recounted how the lobbying community worked together.
In general, there was a tendency to form coalitions. In other words, if you were trying to accomplish something on Capitol Hill, you'd look for other people, association executives or corporate executives, who were trying to do the same thing, and you would work together to do things. One of the most outstanding of such it was something called the Consumer Issues Working Group, which I actually started, and Bryce joined on immediately, and our whole purpose was to defeat a certain very bad piece of legislation.
It didn't take Bryce Harlow very long to establish a reputation as an effective corporate lobbyist. According to most, his effectiveness was the product of who he was, as well as his deep knowledge of how the system operated. Vice President Dick Cheney knew Bryce Harlow back when he was working in government as well as working for Procter & Gamble. The vice president spoke about how Harlow was regarded by the overall community of Washington lobbyists.
It was that fact that he did it so well, that he was so highly regarded, both in the business community as well as on Capitol Hill or among political figures and public officials of the day, that if you were to ask those who knew him, or those who were involved, if you will, in the business of government or in the business of representing customers to the government, who was the best, who represented those qualities that you'd like to think are integral to that process, there would have been, I think, probably unanimous agreement Bryce Harlow was the guy.
Three prominent lobbyists from the past and present, Bill Timmons, Wayne Smithy, and Joel Jankowski, reminisced about what made Harlow such a respected and effective Washington lobbyist.
Well, character and personality. He was straightforward, and he didn't play games and slip around and try to sandbag somebody into saying something or doing something that wasn't right. He would tell them the pluses and the minuses of an issue. Look, Mr. Congressman, here's what I want you to do, and here's why, and here's why it's in your interest, and so forth. But you should understand that some others will say, and then give the negative side, and let them make a judgment. So he had the respect of Democrats and Republicans, and liberals and conservatives, because he was straightforward and honest.
Appreciation of what the members are trying to do, and then to try to design what you're doing in a way that will further their objective as well as yours. To be a person of integrity, never to supply them with information that wasn't 100% reliable. Not to be silent in a meeting where decisions were being made and there's a consensus being formed, and you sat silent even if you didn't agree with the consensus. He was always one that said, look, if you sit silent in that kind of a situation, they have every right to believe that you agree with them.
Integrity. I think that's his hallmark. I think if you look at the low esteem in which most Americans hold their government and the congressional branch of that government and people related to it, including lobbyists, whether they be corporate representatives or independent representatives like lawyers and lobbyists like me, I think that the American public hold that overall crowd in rather low esteem. And I think that his example of integrity is the way to gain back the confidence of the American public.